Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. The intimate and harrowing A Thousand Kisses, A Family's Escape from the Nazis to a New Life by John Weiser, is a memoir of love, escape, and redemption. A rich account of the Weiser family life and flight from Nazi Vienna to Hungary, to Brazil, and to the United States. A narrative that skillfully recreates the palpable tension of multiple escapes. A Thousand Kisses is at once instructive about a family's courage and determination to stay together, and about the dangers of remaining silent while a government tightens immigration laws and promotes racial scapegoating. A graduate of Holy Cross College and Harvard Law School, John W. Weiser was a partner in the Wall Street law firm of Shearman and Sterling. After 20 years there, he accepted an offer to become the general counsel of Bechtel Group, Inc., an international engineering construction company. On retirement, he joined the board of the Graduate Theological Union, a consortium of 9 seminaries of different religions. He eventually served as chairman of the board for 8 years, the maximum allowed. Then John joined United Religions Initiative, the world's largest grassroots interfaith organization. There he served as chair of the President's Council, a senior advisory group. John Weiser, author of A Thousand Kisses, A Family's Escape from the Nazis to A New Life, is our guest on This Week in America. John, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, Rick. Look forward to chatting with you.
I've been looking forward to this. A remarkable story that you tell, the family's journey, so many emotions that you went through, that we go through as readers and following the story. What was the inspiration for writing this book? Why did you decide A Thousand Kisses is a story I need to tell?
Well, I have a large family. I have 8 children. And it became clear to me at some stage that my youngest children had no idea of the family background. I thought it was important for them to know what the background was and what my parents had gone through to bring us to the United States. So I started to write it. And then after my mother died, I found buried in a closet a stack of letters that she and my father had exchanged. And they were the raw material for much of the book.
How difficult was it for you to go back and tell the story, especially seeing new information there, maybe giving you a new light on what the family went through? What was this process like for you?
Well, really the most enjoyable part, the most moving part, was realizing the love that my parents shared as they went through what they endured, because the letters showed how much they loved each other and how hard they were working to stay together. That was the most moving and difficult part in many ways, but also very satisfying.
Let's talk about the early days, the life you had, the family life in Vienna, Austria. Talk about that, a successful family, mother, father, everybody happy, and then you had the Nazi occupation. Talk about that, and then the views of your mother's family.
Well, my mother was one of 7 children of a large extended Catholic family. Her mother and father owned the oldest restaurant in Vienna. My grandmother handled the kitchen. My grandfather handled the front of the restaurant. They had a very good life. And as I was growing up, there were a lot of cousins who shared our lives with us. So it was a very happy extended family. And my father was a successful doctor, had a nice practice going, was head of the urology department at one of the big hospitals in Vienna. And they had a good life together. So things were going very well.
Then the Nazis annexed Austria, as I was saying. How do you suppose the Nazis learned of your father's religious background? And talk about that and how that literally changed the world of all of you in the family.
Yes, well, what happened was one day a postcard arrived, and the postcard said, that the authorities had determined that my father was Jewish. And when you think back on how they could have possibly learned that, because he was living really more as a Catholic with my mother than as a Jew separately, we know that my mother's family knew of his Jewish background because they checked it out before they allowed my mother to marry him. So somebody in the family knew, and there was one uncle who was a Nazi, fairly high up in the Austrian Nazi party. And we've always suspected that at some stage he felt he had to report it, because if he didn't and they ever found out, it would be his head as well. So that was a sad realization that it was somebody in the family probably tipped the Nazis off.
Our guest on the program is John W. Weiser. That's W-E-I-S-E-R. The book we're talking about is A Thousand Kisses, A Family's Escape from the Nazis to a New Life, book available wherever books are sold. We've got a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, for John's page on Amazon. You can order the book there or at all of the other places online. Our thanks to EC Publishing LLC for arranging our conversation with John today. John, what role did the Catholic Church play in the family's odyssey?
Well, there were many cases where they helped that I was aware of. And as I wrote the book, I realized they also helped in another way. My grandparents were friendly with the cardinal in Austria, and they asked him to write a letter of support for my parents in their applications to try to get a visa to some country. And he wrote a letter which was then circulated around Europe. And eventually we got a visa to go to Brazil, wholly unexpected, whom we did not know at all. And I finally realized that probably the cardinal's letter reached somebody who had contacts in Brazil and who got us that visa to get out of Europe, which was, of course, the critical element. So that was one thing. The other thing is every place we went, there would be some Catholic charitable organization that would meet us and help us get settled. So we had a lot of help from the church through our time in this trip.
I want to talk about Brazil and what you went through there. I want to go back, just one more question on once the Nazis occupied Austria, what was it like for you and the family? Friends of you, friends of your father's, friends of the mother were arrested. They were sent to camps. Your dad has now been outed as a Nazi, they're saying. What was that tension like, knowing that life is about to dramatically change, but you really didn't know how at that point?
No, I think the moment they received notice that the Nazis had identified my father as Jewish, everything changed. My father tried to continue living as before, but as you mentioned, it wasn't long before friends of his who were Jewish doctors were being picked up and sent to camps. So he realized he had to do something. So he decided to escape to Hungary, where my Jewish grandmother lived. So he got himself some tickets and took a train ride to Budapest. But it was a little scary because he was worried that somebody might identify him as Jewish. But he still had his old German passport, and he had not turned that in, because Jews were supposed to have their passports marked with a big red J so the authorities would know that it was a Jew who was carrying that passport. But my father traveled with his old German passport, so that had no indication of his Jewish identification.
Yes. There was a limit on the time that he could spend in Hungary. You're looking around and you talk about Brazil. Let's focus on that. What do you believe was behind the offer to your father to move to Brazil? And talk about that, because I believe they were just a tourist visa at that point, correct?
Yes. So what happened is my father went to Hungary, and of course, in those days, I guess even today, when you arrive in a country, you have to report yourself and you have to get permission to stay in that country. And they gave my father relatively limited permission to stay. And as he kept asking to get it extended, they finally said, if you don't get out before this visa expires, we're going to send you back to Germany. So there's a lot of pressure on him. And as I thought about it, I realized what had happened was he had served in the First World War on the Hungarian side, and he'd gotten several medals for bravery because he had the risky job of going beyond the front line to identify where artillery was landing, where the Hungarian artillery was landing. So he was trying to spot where they should shoot. And so he was given medals for his heroism. And I believe at some stage he was so unhappy with Hungary that he sent the medals back and said he didn't want them anymore. And I think that was on the record. So when he came back to Hungary, they were not very happy with him. And they wanted to give him a very short time to stay. In the meantime, of course, everybody, my mother and he and other people, were trying to find permission to enter some country. And he had a good shot. We had a good shot at going to Kenya in Africa because he had a patient who had a coffee plantation there. But Kenya was at that time a colony of England, and so you had to qualify to practice medicine by passing a test in England. And unfortunately, the next test in England was about 6 months away, which was more time than the Hungarians were willing to give my father. So he couldn't wait around to get the test to go to Kenya, and we had to accept the visa to go to Brazil, even though it was only a tourist visa. A tourist visa meaning you could not work. You were just there as a visitor.
Yes.
So that was a bad turn, but it was a visa to get out of Europe. And that was the first priority at that time.
When you're in Brazil, I'm sorry, finish that thought.
So my parents took the visa and went to Brazil, figuring they'd have to do the best they could.
When you're in Brazil, where did you end up in Brazil? And your father had got a factory, running a tapioca factory, if I recall. How did that happen? What town were you in?
Well, we started in Rio, which was the capital, and my father had a good friend from Hungary who had gone to Brazil many years earlier and had a nice business in Sao Paulo, which is the second large city in Brazil, about an hour away from Rio. And so he had a friend there. Then they made friends with another couple, a Jewish man who had been a senior officer in the Austrian telephone company. And that man's wife had urged her husband to get out of Austria before the Nazis came. So they left before there was all the pressure to get visas, and they found a way to get to Brazil. So they were there, and they were also very helpful to my parents. And in fact, it was that man who had a dinner party, and he invited my parents, and he also invited an Austrian man who was a noble, a baron, was an entrepreneur, and the baron figured that there would be a great opportunity to have a tapioca factory because Brazil had decided to use tapioca to thin some other products, so there was already market for tapioca. So the baron was going to build a tapioca factory, and he met my father. And he was impressed by my father. My father had been an officer in the Hungarian army and knew something about authority and how to deal with people. And so he offered my father the opportunity to come and work in a new factory when it was up and running. But we all suspected that what he really wanted to have a good doctor locally, because his wife and daughter were living in this little village. It was a small village several hours north of Rio. There were no doctors in the village. The nearest doctor was in a town about 2 or 3 hours away by car. So they preferred to have a good doctor locally in the little village where the factory was going to be built. So he offered my father the job, and my father accepted it.
What was
it? I think he probably did a very good job because he was a very competent guy. And the other thing that both my parents did is they were very open to befriending the local people, who were mostly relatively poor black people. And the number two guy in the factory was a very competent black guy. And he and my father developed a very good working relationship. And in fact, that black guy often supported my father when the baron was giving my father a hard time about something in the factory. But it was a very small little town, one-room schoolhouse with only a few pupils in it. The village had really nothing there. There was no electricity. Water was mainly from wells.
Yes.
So it was a very different life from the life that my parents had enjoyed in Vienna.
Then there is a German engineer who's brought in and has designs to be the plant manager. That's a position occupied by your father. And he is coming up and telling them your father has Nazi leanings. Talk about that, and then the departure from that job, from that town.
Yes, the baron wanted, my father was doing a good job handling the men, the personnel in the plant, but he wanted somebody who had more technical experience, and he found a German engineer in the city in Brazil, and he hired that German engineer. And later we found out that that engineer was actually a Nazi and was writing propaganda for the Nazis in some of the papers in Brazil. And that fellow eventually convinced the baron to fire my father, probably because my father was Jewish. So at one time, they found my father had gone to Brazil. So I'd gone to Rio to deal with the authorities there because there was some rumor that my father was a spy for the English. So he went and he explained what had happened and he convinced the authorities that he was okay. But while he was in Rio, he gave his assistant at the factory access to some medicines that he had. And one of them was a narcotic. So when my father was gone, the engineer discovered that this young associate had access to the narcotics. So he told that to the baron. He said, that's a firing offense because only a doctor should have access to the narcotics, not this non-medical assistant.
Yes.
So they used that as the excuse to fire my father. They said, if you don't sign a resignation letter, we will turn you into the authorities. So my father finally decided he wasn't going to win that fight. So he resigned, and we went back to Rio to see what we could do.
Were there any particular people who were helpful to your parents in Rio to help you deal with that current situation?
Well, there was always the Catholic Church. We could always go to them and ask them for help, and they would help when they could. And we had this Austrian couple, the fellow had been with the telephone company, and they were well connected and they helped. But I think the most important person in the situation was the American consul in Rio. He had done some investigation on my father, and he found that my father had made a lot of friends and had impressed a lot of people. So he said to my father, he said, you're the kind of guy we want to get to the United States, but I need you to give me somebody who will write a letter that they will support you financially when you arrive in the United States. And you haven't given me that letter yet. Now you have this friend in Brazil who has a business and obviously has money in the United States as part of his business. My father said yes, but he doesn't want to use that guy because the guy needs the money for his business and didn't want to ask him to make the money available to my parents. So they were kind of at loggerheads. The consul wanted to help, but he couldn't get what he needed. And while my father was talking to the consul, my mother had gone to the German embassy to ask if there was anything we needed from the German embassy in order to permit us to go to the United States. And the German embassy said yes, they would give us the letter, but only if my father changed his first name from Arthur to an obviously Jewish name like Levi or some other obviously Jewish name. So my mother got very upset, and she ran back to where my father was meeting with the American consul. And the consul could tell that she was upset, and he asked her what happened. And she told him what happened. And he got angry. He said, "Those damn Germans, I'll get you into the United States." And he wrote us a letter of support that allowed us to get the visa to go to the United States. So the consul was a critical guy for us at that time.
What a remarkable story. The book is A Thousand Kisses, A Family's Escape from the Nazis to a New Life by John Weiser. That's Weiser. Links for the book on our website. Books available wherever books are sold. A couple minutes left in the program. The very touching ending to the book ends with the family entering New York Harbor. Had to be emotional at the time. I'm sure it's still emotional for you as you go back in your memory and in your recollections, reading information from your mother. What was that like after this odyssey the family had been on, with ups and downs and not knowing what was going to happen, what was going to happen to other members of your family, your father in particular? What was that like pulling into New York Harbor?
Well, I think I was a little too young to fully appreciate it, but I know my parents were deeply happy that they were finally arriving in a place where my father would be able to work, because he would have to go through qualifying to be a doctor, take all the requisite tests, but he was willing to do that as long as he could work. So they saw the possibility of a new life in the United States, and in fact, it all worked out well. My father was able to take all the tests and go through the difficult period of internship and residence. And eventually was able to establish a practice, and he was quite successful in the United States. So both my parents had a happy life. And of course, as their child and my sister and I, we had happy lives and a wonderful future in the United States.
You know, it's amazing when you think back what your father, what your mother, entire family went through, how difficult it was to hold the family together, the sacrifices, the hardships that they went through. You've had a very successful career, a prominent Wall Street law firm, working for an international engineering company, playing a role in major international interfaith organizations. Talk a little bit about where you came from and where you are now and the gratitude you must have for what your family went through to make this life possible for you.
Absolutely. No, it's right. When I read those letters that my parents wrote to each other, the title of the book is A Thousand Kisses, because that's how my father signed off on his letters to my mother. They really worked very hard. And they supported each other. And their union really was what carried us through those first early years. Because in the beginning, my father was working as a resident and as an intern. And the hospitals paid negligible amounts to residents and interns because most of them were bachelors just out of medical school. But my father was trying to support a wife and two kids. So I had a very difficult time in the beginning until he was finally able to take the exams, go through all the trials, and finally open his own practice and build a practice that would support the family.
What a remarkable story, and so well told by John Hinda's book, The Family Memoir, A Thousand Kisses, A Family's Escape from the Nazis to a New Life. John Weiser, the author and our guest, Weiser. Book available, of course, Amazon, all of the usual places. Again, my thanks to ecpublishingllc.com for arranging this very important and powerful conversation with John on the program today. John, a pleasure having you on. Remarkable family story. The book is so well told. We're up and down with you and the family is what you're going through, and you can feel the tension as you're reading the book and wondering what's going to happen next. Thank you so much for sharing the story on our program today.
Thank you, Rick.
It has been a pleasure. John W. Weiser, Weiser. The book, A Thousand Kisses, A Family's Escape from the Nazis to a New Life. Book available wherever books are sold. You're listening to This Week in America, our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.